You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
It was late in the night, and the disciples of Jesus were in a boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Suddenly and without warning, a storm struck. The Bible states that the boat carrying the disciples was being battered by the waves. All of this was happening during the fourth watch of the night, or between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. Most likely it was totally dark, and with a gale force raging, the situation was surely frightening. Chaos and confusion, these are probably the most appropriate words to describe this tumultuous situation. The disciples of Jesus began to fear even for their own lives. But then suddenly the Savior, Jesus, appeared. And when the disciples saw their master walking on the water, they were frightened. They said, "It is a ghost." But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then Peter answered, "Lord, if it is you, then command me to come." And Jesus said to Peter, "Come." Peter got out of the boat. He began walking toward Jesus on the water. But then Peter remembered the terrifying wind and the raging storm, and he took his eyes of faith off Jesus, and Peter began to doubt. And then Peter began to sink. Peter cried out and said, "Lord, save me." Immediately, the Bible explains, Jesus stretched out his hand and rescued Peter. Then Jesus said to Peter, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, "You are certainly God's Son." Now, when you and I read about or hear about the dramatic and moving story of the disciples of Jesus caught in the middle of a storm in the middle of the sea, and when we read about Peter sinking in the water because of his fear of the storm, and when we see his little faith and how he, Peter, began to doubt, then we are often tempted to say, "Oh, foolish Peter! When he was in trouble, why didn't he just keep his eyes on the Lord, and then everything would have been okay?" But the truth is this, you and I do exactly the same thing, and we do it often, probably even every day. We say we believe in God and we claim to be religious. We sometimes even boast about how we are followers of the Savior. However, when these storms of life come upon us, when difficulties destabilize us, then we become just like Peter. Doubt begins to creep into our mind, and then instead of staying on top of things, as we say, we begin to sink into the sea of the difficulties and the frustrations around us. Our eyes shift from our Savior onto ourselves, and down we go, deeper and deeper, into our own mess, helplessness and hopelessness. That's how we often feel. Now take just a moment and think back to the last time that one of your family members or friends was seriously ill. Did you turn first to God? Did your eyes of faith turn to the Savior for help and hope? Or did your first thoughts revolve around the question of which of the latest medical treatments might be the best help? Or when tensions arise in your family, do you first think of God? Do you consider His forgiveness and healing as a way to help restore harmony in your home? Or do you try to find some other way out? Maybe your first step is to get out to buy a self-help book on the subject, or perhaps you may even make an appointment with a secular counselor. Now, of course, when we say that many people today are very secular and that they are very much like doubting Peter, we don't mean to imply that there is some new trend in our country toward atheism. Quite the opposite. Not long ago, a major news magazine in a headline story announced that 94% of our present society believes in God. That's correct. 94% of our population claims to believe in the Lord, and nearly 80% say that their chances of ending up in heaven, they feel, are at least good to excellent. This is the good news. But the bad news is that many of these same people who claim to believe in God, when they find themselves in trouble, don't really depend on God at all. They depend on themselves, and they begin to worry. They fret and they fear. They try to solve their own problems through worldly means, and they look to men instead of God for help and rescue. And, of course, this is also the reason that so many religious people become victims of financial scams every year. The North American Security Administrators and the Council for Better Business Bureaus announced that more than 15,000 Americans lost over $450 million through fraudulent religious schemes in the last several years. Religiously oriented swindles are one of today's best tools for con artists. According to the Wall Street Journal, victims of such fraud have been Baptists and Jews, Mormons, Greek Orthodox congregations, as well as blacks, Hispanic Catholics, and Lutheran ministers. Now, of course, maybe some of you are thinking, we don't know what you are talking about. Well, let me explain it. It works like this. Clever con artists know that even Christians are frequently easily tempted to want more money, more security, and a larger nest egg for retirement. It all works just like it did for the Apostle Peter in our text for today. When he took his eyes of faith off his Savior, Peter began to sink and he began to fall. And when you and I take our eyes of faith off of God and His providence, we then become very easy targets of financial swindlers, and we too begin to sink. Those who promote schemes of quick money are, of course, robbers and frauds and outright crooks. But as I've already noted, these con artists exist for a reason, and sad to say, you and I are often the reason. These hucksters know that you and I and others who claim to be Christian can often be easily tempted by promises of money. Oh, these clever devils say to us, you can make much more money on your savings than you are presently getting right now at the bank. And then they smile a little. Why leave your money in a bank which draws only 5 or 6% interest, they say? Invest it with me, and I'll get you 25% or even 35%. This temptation, of course, is too much, even for Christians. Lust for money overcomes the conscience, and the swindler steals the money, which then frequently ends up being the hard-earned savings stolen from people with little or no other income. Back in 1984, a Lutheran pastor in Wisconsin boarded an airplane. Coming from a small congregation in the Midwest, this pastor received only a very modest salary. And after the plane became airborne, the clergyman saw a copy of the Wall Street Journal lying next to him. He picked it up, and he began to read it. He saw a very intriguing advertisement. Invest in diamonds, the bold advertisement stated. Diamonds are the safest way to protect your savings and even increase your financial future. This is what the alluring pitch suggested, and even though this clergyman normally never reads the Wall Street Journal, he took the paper, tore out the coupon, and when he got back home, he sent it in. He was at this point, as we say, walking directly into the devil's trap. Almost immediately, this pastor was deluged with daily phone calls explaining to him that this was one of the very best things that he could ever do. Protect yourself, they said, and invest in diamonds and make even more money. This pastor had grown up in a small parsonage which probably bordered on the edge of poverty. Thus, neither he nor his family ever had much. Nevertheless, this temptation was great, and at that moment, this diamond offer was very powerful to the flesh. And so, this clergyman invested $5,250 of his life savings. It was nearly all that his family had. And the rest, of course, is history. This pastor never heard from the advertisers again, and after sending in his money, he began to realize that he was part of one big fraud. He spent another $50, frantically calling police investigators and other agencies. But the company he had dealt with was now bankrupt, and there was nothing whatsoever that he could do. This pastor, of course, was greatly hurt by the loss of his savings. But what was even more painful was the fact that this fraudulent ad had appeared in the Wall Street Journal, a newspaper that he thought that he could trust. the pastor was hurt. But there is also another side to this story. We can be sure that God was hurt too. Here was one of his own children, a preacher no less, who instead of trusting completely in him, began to trust in man and materialism and money. This pastor began to sink, just like Peter did, into the sea of tempting materialism. Our message today is not a message about schemers or swindlers or con artists or even diamonds or even the Wall Street Journal. Our message is based upon the Bible story of Peter and his rescue by Jesus. When Peter took his eyes off his Lord and when he focused upon the threatening situation around him, then Peter began to sink. And you and I can also sink. We don't often sink in water, but we frequently sink into the muck and to the mire of materialism because we take our eyes of faith off of God. Our Lord has promised us everything that we need in life. He is our protector. God is our friend. Yes, our Lord is our divine physician, our counselor, and our heavenly helper. We don't need diamonds. No, with God at our side, we don't need any type of earthly security. No doubt many of you find the true story about the man who was swindled by the diamond salesman very interesting. And some of you listening today could probably tell similar stories of what you or close friends of yours have gone through. But thanks be to God. The good news is this. Even when we often fail him, God rescues us. And he saves us just like he saved Peter. Even when we stumble and fall, God in his mercy picks us up again and again and again. He takes us back countless times. God is motivated by an unconditional love for you and me. He does not keep track of how many times he is willing to take us back. Not long ago, a lady wrote our office, and she told how, as a child, she had gone to Sunday school and to church. But then she became a teenager, and at 15 years of age, the world began to look more and more attractive to her. And her love for the Lord became less and less. And instead of listening to her parents, this young lady ran with the wrong crowd, and she married the wrong person. Eventually, disappointment, divorce, and discouragement followed, and this lady who had such a great start in life, this young lady whose parents had prayed for her every day, this lady finally ended up in total despair. She believed that she was no longer worth anything and that even God had given up on her. But this is also where the young lady was wrong. She was totally wrong. God had not given up on her. And so one day, as she was in the deep pit of despair, this weary prodigal could stand it no more. She cried out to God for help. The Lord heard her pleas, and just as Jesus rescued sinking Peter on the Sea of Galilee, the Lord also rescued this woman. And this happened only a few years ago. Now, of course, we know from the letters that we receive regularly that many of you listening today could tell a similar story. And we also know that there are some of you out there who are now just beginning to sink. Or maybe you have been sinking for a long time. You are going down, down, down into the sea of helplessness and hopelessness, and you are still there. And this is also why God is bringing this message of hope to you today. Instead of giving up, follow the example of the Apostle Peter. In sincere confession and in bold prayer, cry out to God and say like Peter, Lord, save me. Forget those who may laugh at you. Pay no attention to those who deride the power of God. In Moses' day, God commanded that all who were dying of snake bites could be saved. Look at the serpent that Moses has raised up upon the staff, God commanded. Some obeyed God, and they were saved. Others thought that God's illogical and unreasonable offer of help was ridiculous and even laughable. And these scoffers, of course, they died. So, my friend, God is inviting you to obey his divine call today and come to him through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the Savior's offer of help. Just as Moses, Jesus said, lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and the people looked at the serpent in faith and were saved, so also Jesus explained that he, Jesus, would be lifted up on the cross of Calvary. And then all who look at the cross and trust in the Savior's salvation power will be saved. And that, my friend, includes you. And so today is your opportunity for a new start. Begin your new life by calling upon the Lord. Place your complete faith for help and hope in the one who also rescued the Apostle Peter. Focus your faith firmly on the crucifixion cross. For your sins, the Savior cried, and for your faults, the Savior died. Ask no questions. Permit no delay, my friend, but instead repeat the Spirit-inspired act and the confession of those who were in the boat when Jesus rescued Peter. Those who were in the boat, the Bible explains, worshiped Jesus and said, "You are certainly God's Son." And so then, now is the time. Now is the hour for you and me to confess our unreserved faith in our gracious God's rescuing power. Let us do it in testimony. Oh, let us do it in prayer. And let us also join the hymn writer who wrote, "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by many a foe, that will not tremble on the brink of poverty or woe. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. A faith that keeps the narrow way till life's last spark is fled, and with a pure and heavenly ray lights up the dying bed. Lord, give us such a faith as this, and then whate'er may come, we'll taste even now the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. O Lord, we pray today for all those who are listening. Encourage the discouraged, strengthen the weak, and especially, O God, we pray, rescue those who are even now sinking into the sins of this world and the sea of despair. O Lord, by thy Spirit, grant unto us the faith to say with Peter, Lord, save me. And then when we are saved, help us also to confess of thy Son, Jesus. Surely, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. O Lord, grant this saving faith unto all of those who are listening today. Amen.